Welcome to the Sports Law Biz Podcast, dedicated to helping people better understand the law and business of sports. I'm your host, Peter Ott, and we've got a lot to talk about here today, so why don't we just jump in? Hello, this is Peter Ott with the Sports Law Biz Podcast. I'm here today with Kyle Brennan, the Deputy Athletic Director at the University of Utah. Kyle has years of experience in collegiate athletics, and I'm excited to have him here with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so yeah, but before we get too deep into here, why don't you just introduce yourself, let us know anything interesting you got to tell us.
Interesting. Well, like you said, Kyle Brennan, Deputy AD, University of Utah. I've been here at Utah for 9 years, and when I got here, I thought I'd be here one. So you never know where you're going to end up and how long you're going to be at a place, but it's been fantastic. Utah has really become home to me, and this department has undergone so much change since I've been here that each time an opportunity comes to leave, I just can't step away because it's been so exciting, the different transitions we've gone through and the opportunities that we've had. And so really feel lucky to be here, lucky to work with Chris Hill. Chris Hill's been the AD here for nearly 30 years and the best AD in the country. And so it's been a great opportunity to learn from him and to see up close how he does things and to have him be a mentor. So working here has been great. I started out as a law student like you, practiced law for 3 years. I did estate planning, which... if anyone out there is a lawyer, you know estate planning is not the most exciting practice in the world, drafting wills and trusts every day. And so I wanted to find something I was passionate about. And so I looked to higher ed. Higher ed had really changed my life. When I was in college, I had a great political science mentor and someone who really got me excited about higher education. So I looked to get back on a campus and thought I would do the PhD route in political science, and had a kid at the time, looked at the years of schooling and thought that's just too much. But so I did some networking and talked to actually my cousin, who's Derek Fox, who's the CEO of the Alamo Bowl. And he said, hey, you know, a lot of lawyers are getting into compliance and athletics and getting on a college campus that way. And when I was looking at my PhD programs, I was kind of picking them based on how the sport programs work. I wanted to go watch a lot of the games, and that's probably not the best way to pick a school. So I already had a passion for athletics and for higher ed, so the two are a good marriage, and so made my transition that way.
Okay, well, yeah, no, thanks for sharing that story. I know at the very beginning you mentioned when you came to Utah you were expecting it would be for a short time period. Is that typical in jumping from place to place? Is that a common thing in this kind of area?
Yeah, it's common in athletics. You know, if you work at a business in a city and you're an accountant, for an example, or a lawyer, and you want to move on to another job, you can go down the street in the same locale and get the similar position or an upgrade. In athletics, there may be only one option in your state or two that really work for you. And so if someone is in the position ahead of you, you're going to be at that place for a long time. So when I got here, my goal was to get to a Power 5 school. At the time, it was a BCS system, and I wanted to get to a BCS school. And so when I got here, I thought I'd do a year or two. And I had no connection to Utah, so it was a good job, but one I thought could set me up for the BCS level or Power 5 level. And so I was here a couple of years, but really liked working for Chris, and I was getting some additional experience. And then we joined the Pac-12, which changed everything. So it was like getting a new job overnight. You know, the goal of getting to a Power 5 or BCS school happened instantly all around me. And so that goal was met. And so not only was it great to be at Power 5, but not many people ever get to be at a school where you get to see the transition from a group of five school to a Power 5 level. And to be a part of mapping that out and putting together a strategic plan and upgrading facilities and doing all the things that it takes to compete at this level was a wonderful opportunity that I couldn't pass up. So, you know, a year turns into two, turns into five, turns into nine. And so it is different, though, in this business. You do have to hop around. When I got started, I was a graduate assistant at Northern Illinois. And, you know, that's really, for most people, the way in. And so I had to give up practicing law. I was making a decent salary. My wife was a regional manager for Chase Bank. And I remember our first year being a GA. When I was a GA, we made $4,000 the first year. So it's a huge sacrifice and change, but you know, after putting some time in there, I was lucky enough to land my first full-time job at TCU, and then I moved to Ball State and then to Utah. But I did some moving around early because in order to move up, you kind of have to move around. And so it's not uncommon for people to jump from place to place until you get to a spot where you feel like, you know, you're challenged, you're growing, and you're excited about where you're living, you're excited about the school that you're working for. And then people settle in a little bit more. But the beginning of your career is definitely one that you have to move around quite a bit.
Okay. And I suppose in making that determination between where you want to be, it's a combination of, you know, whether it's a prestigious school, it's a combination of the kind of work you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, is that generally correct, I guess?
Yeah, it's a combination. I think it's different for everybody. In this business, it's very hard to get quote-unquote home. You're lucky if you can get regional. So if you're from Washington State and you land in Utah, that's pretty good because you could find yourself in Arkansas just as easily. And so you look regionally, I think people care about that. I think it's really important. A lot of people getting in look too much at the school and at the prestige of the school. And I fell into that when I started out. But the main thing you should really be looking for is the kind of work opportunities that you're going to get. So you may go to a school as, if you're in compliance, as the director of compliance, let's say at Oklahoma, where there's 9 other directors. I think you're better off going to Boise State as the person in charge of compliance, you know, or Colorado State or a school like that where you get the right experience. So you really want to find that balance between the right experience where you're exposed to quite a few things, the location that you're interested in, and then probably most important too is finding a school where you fit with that philosophy. There's different ways to skin a cat in this business, and some have other philosophies. Ours here at Utah is student-athlete based, so when we make decisions, we put the student-athlete first, and we also have a lot of coach involvement in those decisions. And you go to some schools, and it's very much administrators making the decisions. We're here, we feel like the coaches are closest to the student-athletes, and therefore they're in the best position sometimes to give us advice on how to make decisions. And so that fits with what I believe. And so it's a good fit for me here. I could go somewhere else and it could have the right location. It could have great responsibility. It could be very prestigious. But if that philosophy isn't there, I'm probably not a good fit. And at the end of the day, I'm probably not the best employee for them. It won't be that successful. So it's really, it's important to do that research and find out who you are, what your philosophy is, and then the organization you're going to, does that match?
Okay. Yeah, and I guess that's good advice in general, not just in college sports. You know, you got to find that balance that works for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, shifting gears a little bit, why don't we talk a bit about what exactly is the work of a athletic director or somebody working in a college athletics department? Yeah, let's speak generally about the kinds of, you know, I know you mentioned compliance earlier,
yep.
And I assume there's other things that go on as well.
Sure.
And so if you could talk about that and then about what you do on a day-to-day basis as well.
Well, athletics in general, you can split it into two categories. There's the external function of a department, and then there's more of the internal function. And people find themselves kind of on one side of the business or the other. So the external side is marketing, ticket sales, fundraising, your annual giving, major gifts, and you'll find that's the external side. And then on the internal side is the group that spends all the money that those people make. You know, so you have compliance, you have academics, services, sports supervising for administrators, business operations, things of that nature are going to be on the internal side. And most of the internal side is really directly working with the student-athletes or pretty close. And the external side, there's some interaction with the student-athletes, but your focus is outward into the community and trying to build interest, trying to raise money, trying to make a great atmosphere for fans to want to come. And so, you know, in my career, I've had the opportunity to work on both sides, which it's pretty rare. It's hard to make that crossover from one side to the other. So I feel lucky to have done that. But generally that's just kind of how an athletics department is set up. An athletic director kind of has their hand in everything. And so a lot of different areas will report up to an athletic director. But the difference probably with the athletic director is the high-level fundraising that they need to do, as well as being the face of the program in public. So you may be a fundraiser and do just fundraising all the time, just like the athletic director, but when there's a football player who gets arrested, you know, the coach has to talk about it, and you have to be out there talking about it as well. So you have to be the face of the program, and you have to be a face of the program to a lot of different constituencies, whether it's on campus or in the community. And so the AD's role gets a little different there. My job's difficult to explain. It's a little bit of everything. So it's really like being a junior AD. I oversee things that are on the external side and oversee things on the internal side. And the AD and I get together multiple times a day throughout the week, and we decide what he has time for or what he wants me to handle. And so we divide up the work that way. On a day-to-day basis, the thing that takes up the most of my time is conflict resolution, getting different departments to work together to communicate, resolve differences. And the other big part of my job is to work with football, men's basketball, on all the different issues that they need. Running a football program is a major undertaking with over 120 employees in football alone. And so there's a lot of management that needs to happen there, a lot of answers, questions that need answering, and managing their interface with a lot of different areas. So they may be working with facility management or with compliance or academics, and I'm a go-between those two to sometimes make those things run together well. But on the external side, you know, my job is really to make sure that our major gift guys are out there meeting people, fishing in the right pond, as they say, making contacts. I'm out there doing that with them as well. But making sure our marketing department, our ticket office, our ticket sales are all working together towards the same goal. So we're all on the same page, putting together a plan to drive revenue. That's what we're always trying to do, to increase ticket sales and to better our fan experience and to make our donors and our fans feel appreciated and welcome.
Okay, so it sounds like at the higher levels, it's a lot of coordination, making sure everything moves right because there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. One interesting thing I think about athletic directors in college sports is that it's such a visible position. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Utah alum, so I know that Utah fans are all very reasonable and fair and stuff, but I've seen, you know, maybe from other colleges on message boards or from among my friends, you see people saying, oh man, I would fire this coach or I would do this, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of that kind of stuff. How do you think an athletic department should react to that kind of stuff, the public feelings, and I guess how do you do it here at Utah?
Well, first, we have a great fan base, like you said. I see some other schools where the intensity sometimes is unreasonable and unrealistic. And I think our fans here, they are demanding. They want to win just like we do, just as much as our coaches do and our student athletes. But they also have trust in the coaches that we have, and they have measured patience. And so we're really fortunate for that. I think there's a balance. As an athletic director, you have to be aware of what's being said out there. You can't put your head in the sand. At the same time, if you read it all and take every one of those things to heart, you're going to go crazy. So when we get emails from fans that are upset, one of the things that we do is say, hey, we really appreciate your thoughts. Why don't you give me a call? Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times you never get the call. The fan likes to really spout off an email or on a message board, but when you actually offer them the opportunity to call and talk about it, they pretty much shy away. So that's one thing that I think that we do that helps. The other thing is, you know, you've got to support the staff that you have. If you believe in your coach and you know you see it day in and day out from a up-close perspective, then you have faith in your coach and you stand behind him. And you can see when things are going well and when they're not. And so sometimes the results may not be there on the field yet. People are getting impatient, but you know where it's headed in the right direction. And that's a time where you really need to stand up and support the coaches that you do have and support the student athletes that you do have. And there's too many, I think a lot of people out there aren't patient enough, and some schools don't allow you to be patient. And at the University of Utah, we have donors who are supportive, who are interested, but they don't run the athletic department. And that's not true everywhere. And if that's true where you're working, it's a lot harder to be supportive because it's not even always your decision.
Right.
But here, you know, Chris has been here 30 years, and we have the ability to make those decisions. And so, yes, you get those kinds of emails, but the next week when they win, you know, everyone talks about how the coach is the greatest thing ever. So you do have to learn how to take it in stride, not only when they're talking about the coaches, but when they're talking about, you know, the AD or the athletic department too. You're never as good as they say, and you're never as bad as they say. You know, you're always somewhere kind of in the middle. But it's important to, like I said, make sure you're listening. You can't be tone deaf, but you can't let it run what you're doing. You got to trust what you're doing is right and believe in it and stand by it.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds reasonable. I guess as we're getting close to wrapping up here, can you speak a little bit about what you like about working in college sports, and then also what you see as some of the biggest challenges in working in college sports?
What I like, I like everything about it. It is really for people who don't work in it, it's hard to explain, but it's not just your job, it becomes who you are, and I don't mean that in an unhealthy way. Some people are workaholics, they shut their family out. They're consumed with success, and it can be in any field. In athletics, it demands that it becomes a part of who you are, because it's not an 8 to 5 job. There's games at night, there's games on the weekend, there's events where you got to meet with donors and supporters, there's things on campus you need to go to. And honestly, if you love what you do, you don't even see those as work tasks or things that you've got to go to work. It's just part of your life. And you know, I'm lucky, my wife works in athletics, which helps, but it's a great place to raise kids. My kids go to every event. They get to know the players, the coaches, and so it just seems like part of our family, and that's different than a lot of other jobs where you go, you're done, you go home. And so that's what I love about it, is that it encompasses everything. It's who I am. It's what I love. The student athletes, being around young people keeps you young. Their energy is amazing. The things that they do always surprise you. You've got kids from all different types of backgrounds who come to your school, who are all looking for something different, but they want an education, they want an opportunity to compete, they want an opportunity to better their lives. And, you know, you play a part in that. And I can't imagine getting up and going to work and not having that sense of purpose behind it. And so that's really the reason I got into this job. Did you ask what was challenging about it too?
Yeah, challenges.
So challenges about it are, what makes it great also makes it difficult. It's extremely competitive, and while you love the competition, there's a constant pressure to improve and stay up with the Joneses, is a way to put it. So every school is always getting better, getting more resources, providing more to their student athletes or to their coaches to differentiate themselves from the rest of the pack. And that's a challenge, and one that always is going to be there. And so that's one of the tougher aspects of it. But at the same time, it drives you to do well, you know, so that can be a challenge. The other thing I think that's a challenge is there's a lot of things that come up that can be controversial, or problems that happen either, you know, on your campus with an athlete or with a coach, and it's so public. And you've got to not just do the right thing, but you've got to be able to manage the public relations aspect of it. And so it's really important to have a great relationship with your campus PR folks, so that when those times come, there's trust and you're on the same page. And you have the administration support on campus because they know that you're trustworthy and doing the right thing. But there's a lot of schools out there that are well-meaning that these things come up, and there's no good way to manage them, or sometimes they're mismanaged. And through no fault of their own, it's just everyone's kind of a rookie, because every situation is new and different. So you're trying your best to to weave through doing the right thing and also the right messaging. And so I think that's one of the bigger challenges that a lot of us face.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for talking about that. I think that's very helpful. Is there anything else that you'd like to kind of get off your chest before we
I would say, before we started, you said this might be, you know, people who are not in athletics maybe, you know, looking at it. I would encourage anyone, if it's something you're passionate about, to pursue it. Every year that goes by, it gets harder to get in. You know, when I got in, I was 31. I have one kid, and I have three boys now. And it was a major lifestyle change to do it, but I can't imagine doing anything else. The sacrifices at the beginning are worth it. One thing that is different about athletics is everyone wants in, but not a lot of people are willing to make that sacrifice to get in, or able to. If you can make the sacrifice and you can get in, the doors open really quickly, and you can move up fairly rapidly. It's that getting in that's really hard, because when we post a job, guys who work at Foot Locker apply and say, hey, I sell shoes, I'm interested in sports, I want to come work for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's not enough. You know, you want someone that you know is passionate about, that you can trust. And so this business is very small, and people share information about others who are looking for people. And so if you ever find an opportunity at a school that you're at to get involved, even volunteering, I would encourage you to do it, because, you know, there's nothing greater, in my opinion, than working in this business. It's something that you you help change people's lives. You wake up every day passionate about it. There's wins and losses. You get to keep score. I've been in jobs where you just do good work, but it's hard to see the tangible result. We work really hard, and we go see a team go, you know, to a great bowl game, or a women's basketball team go to the NCAA tournament. And so there's measurable results, which is so different than a lot of other areas outside of maybe sales. And so great atmosphere, great thing to work in, and would encourage anyone out there that's interested to look into it. And you can always reach out to me at Utah. If you can find me, I'm willing to talk to anyone who wants to make an effort to get into this business.
Okay, well, yeah, that's great. It sounds like, if there's a will, there's a way, and you've got to be dedicated to doing it. So
absolutely.
Okay, well, yeah, thanks for taking the time, and thanks for being on Sports Law Biz Podcast.
All right, appreciate it, Peter.
This has been an episode of the Sports Law Biz Podcast. This podcast is available through the Sports Law Biz website or through iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Before wrapping things up, I'd like to thank some people. First of all, I'd like to thank my friend, Lieb Montoya, for designing the Sports Law Biz podcast logo, as well as the Sports Law Biz blog logo. His artistic ability certainly surpasses mine. If interested, you can check out more of Lieb's work on Instagram and Twitter. His handle is @LiebMontoya in both places. That's @LIB Montoya. Additionally, I'd like to thank the musical artist for providing this theme music that you're listening to right now. The artist is a band called The Losers. The album is entitled Young, Tough, Terrible. The track is Sports with an exclamation point. The label is Needle Drop Co. This music is available through a Creative Commons license of Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported. This podcast was produced and recorded by myself, Peter Ott. And you can reach me at my personal Twitter handle, @PeterJOTT, through the Sports Law Biz Twitter handle, @SportsLawBiz, or through email at sportslawbizblog@gmail.com. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you are interested in contributing to either the Sports Law Biz blog or podcast, definitely reach out to me. I love to talk to people about these issues, and I know I can use all the help I can get. Finally, I'd like to thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If so, please spread the word and let your friends and colleagues know about it. Leave a review on iTunes. Any way you can spread the news about this podcast would be greatly appreciated. That's our episode today. Tune in next time to learn more about the law and business of sports. Looking forward to discussing it with you on the Sports Law Biz podcast.